Okay, let's open it to Romans chapter 5. See what we got here in Romans chapter 5. Gonna what? I hope not, John. I tell you what, not only was I not feeling well, then I started getting all fired up, and boy, I mean, it was something else. I agree. Got a few friends, and get up here and holler at them. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in a few moments of prayer to test ourselves, see if we are proper relationship with God the Holy Spirit, and He can illuminate, open our eyes, and show us these things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves, to worship together, to worship You, to worship what You are, Father. You are love. And to open the Scriptures and examine this love that Your Spirit is going to pour through us. So oriented, Heavenly Father, to so many things about ourselves, what goes into our bodies, but so few Christians are aware, concerned, Heavenly Father, in regard to the love that Your Spirit will pour into us. How it will affect our soul, first of all, and then our relationships with others and with You and even with ourselves. So, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes, we can see things that You would have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Did the study on truth make sense? Did anybody have any questions that you thought about it on Sunday? Okay. Romans chapter 5, what we're looking at is the source or the cause of this love, and noting that it is by God the Holy Spirit in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Remember, the Romans are doing it right. They are walking by faith in the Spirit, and this is all through the book of Romans becomes a powerful factor in this aspect. Okay, let's pick up where we left off last week, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. And we noted that the concept of being poured out and the fact that this love, therefore, impacts every part of our being. First of all, it impacts the inside of us. That is our soul, all here the heart, but it is the soul, the real you. So the first thing we want to realize is that the first level of impact, remember, the spiritual love is a force. Being a force, it has impact, effect. And so we studied the direction, we studied the direction of it now and directed towards our soul, the Holy Spirit pouring this love in. But what we're looking at now in the magnitude, but right now we're looking at the impact. And the first area that the force of spiritual love, the first place that you will experience the impact of spiritual love is inside. And this is where we're going to pick up when we get to the list and the study of things in 1 Corinthians 13. Things, for example, that spiritual love is long-suffering. Well, people, this is one of the first things that we start realizing about spiritual love, the inner impact that spiritual love, or the love poured into us by God the Holy Spirit, makes in our own soul. And the reason that it is long-suffering is because other believers and other people, but other believers are going to hurt us, disappoint us, sin against us, do all kinds of things. And the first thing that has to happen before you can handle anything that goes on in life is something has to happen inside of us. In the secular world, self-control, self-discipline, But in the scriptural and spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit pours in spiritual love, and it is the magnitude and the effect of spiritual love that spiritual love is long-suffering. For a long time, I used to teach that it was Bible doctrine that did all these kinds of things until the Spirit took me on this journey, began to realize this is a supernatural phenomenon that occurs. This is why spiritual love is so powerful and so important. Never saw it in all my life. Experienced it, but never saw it until he started taking me on this journey in spiritual love back in the, I guess, late 80s is where we first really started touching on this thing. But it is this love that has this effect inside your soul. This isn't doctrine. This isn't you. This is what spiritual love starts doing. It creates an environment inside of our soul. It's poured into the soul so that there is long suffering in the soul. It means you will suffer. So we can count on that from other Christians and other people. But spiritual love can handle that. And then later, it's going to, we'll see that it, then it affects your life. First, it affects your soul, and then it affects your life. And by life here, I'm referring, taking us outside of our who and what ourself is, and therefore, we are kind to other people. We're kind to others. We're kind to those who, if we thought about it in the realm of human thinking, they don't deserve kindness. They've done wrong. They deserve judgment. They deserve this. They deserve that. They don't deserve kindness, but what they're going to receive from spiritual love is kind. So we start seeing it now affecting our lives, but I want you to really get into our understanding. It affects the soul, your soul, my soul, first. It's long-suffering. Then it's kind out here. Then we saw that it is, we'll see, that it is not jealous. All right? This is something that's going on inside of our own soul. And it is not arrogant. And we're going to have to look at these things again and note some of the improvements and up things and take some stuff out of what we used to do with it. But these are things going on inside of our soul. And there's comfort inside of our own soul. A comfort to us inside of our own soul in times of turmoil. This is what spiritual love will do if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to pour in this love. They will give us comfort in our soul. What's doing it? It's this love. It's this love that is doing it. That's how powerful spiritual love is. So it first affects our soul, then it affects our life. And this is what we are in the midst of there. Because the love, this love belonging to God, has been poured out. And here we noted that it is a perfect passive indicative, and we noted the passive voice, and this is where we had to leave off last week. Passive voice has been poured. Okay, so it's been poured. And it is poured into our souls, and we receive it. And this is very important. Perfect passive, not active. If it was active, it means that I bring it about. I cause it to happen, to occur. But when you have the passive voice in the Greek, the subject receives the action of the verb. And so you and I receive the action of this pouring of by the Holy Spirit pouring into us spiritual love. We just receive it. We don't make it happen. All that we do, how do we cause the work of God to occur inside of us? The only way that we receive anything from God is always on the principle of grace, and being on the principle of grace means the only thing compatible with that is for us to simply trust Him and God will pour it in. It is just simply amazing the number of people that call trusting God heretical teaching. I'm totally amazed at pastors. Well, that's heresy. You mean trusting God is heresy? And then they stumble around because they, that didn't sound right. So they stumble around, but yes, to them. And just so few people and on either side of the cross can just say, all you got to do is trust in people. And but this is what we do. We just trust Him, and then by our faith, we receive, there's that passive voice, we receive this love being poured into our souls. So our soul becomes the container of which God is going to pour spiritual love. It affects our thinking. It affects the conscience. It affects the emotion. It affects the vocabulary. It affects everything, and that makes sense, doesn't it? Because if, let's say, for an example, and there are various things that I'm only going to pick one or two to make the point, but let's say that what someone needs is the normal understanding of kindness. Now, I'm going to come and we're going to look at what kindness is and isn't. A lot of times we don't know what kindness is. But let's just say with the concept of what we generally think of as being kind, gentle, that affects our vocabulary. Love will affect it. So that if someone needs our kindness, when we're in the filling of the Spirit, even our vocabulary begins to change. Not because, well, I've got to change my vocabulary. If kindness is what is to be extended to them, there's a vocabulary that goes with it. If not boasting, not acting unbecoming, a lot of things that we talk, even the vocabulary, our thinking, every part of our being, our conscience is affected by spiritual love. So these things are decisions, all areas of the soul, being poured into our soul, goes into every aspect of the soul. So, and then spiritual love, right, here's where we left off now. Spiritual love then influences every part of our soul, and therefore every part of our life. First, our own temperament is one of the words we use. Our own temperament inside. There's a peace, happiness, absence of hate, the absence of bitterness, the absence of revenge. See, if love is long-suffering, that means that there's the revenge and all these things. And later on we'll see that love bears all things. Okay, if love doesn't bear all things, then there's going to be that riding in our soul. This needs to be taken care of. Boy, and I've got to straighten you out, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. But if love bears it, that's gone from inside of our soul. So that, and I've said this so many times, and the perfect way is to know whether or not I'm in the Spirit or not, and walking in the Spirit, is just examine my own soul. What's the environment going on inside of my soul? Is there anger, bitterness, revenge, hate, all of these types of things that are not compatible with this love? And if there is, then I know where I am, and nobody needs to tell. So because it is long-suffering, we're able to be kind no matter what they've done to us. We're able to restore. We're able, what is kindness? I'm able to think, what is it that they need? What do they need? Not what do I need, what do they need? And they may need for me to get down on the floor and wash their feet. Jesus Christ washing their feet. They may need whatever it may be, food. As we continue through our study and flow of Jesus Christ, when we get to the woman at the well, we have a beautiful story coming up. Where he's dealing with one of the men who want Jesus Christ to heal his son. So, I'm going to study a lot of illustrations of spiritual love in action. And spiritual love sees what is needed and therefore meets that need. The reason you can do that is because you're not thinking of yourself. And love doesn't think of itself. Love doesn't consider itself when harmed, nor does it exalt itself. But when we're thinking of ourselves, we can't see what is needed. But when we don't think of ourselves, boom, we can, what's needed here? And spiritual love guides in what is needed and what can I do to meet that need. And because spiritual love penetrates into our soul, there's just the mental attitude, the sins like fear, these things that would penetrate, control our whole soul, they're now repressed. Where spiritual love is, there is no fear, John tells us in 1 John. So spiritual love replaces fear, hate, revenge, all these types of things. So this is starts, first thing that happens when it's poured into our soul, something happens inside of you. Then it starts affecting your life, your relationship with others, your relationship with God, and as we'll see, even your relationship with yourself. So now, here's the point. Watch this. The world, we could talk about watching our temperament, and I'm not doing that, but you follow me. The world can't see what's going on in your soul. But they can see this outer impact that it starts making in your life. They can see the kindness. They can see the not boasting. They can see not acting unbecomingly. A lot of things that the world can see, and and this is very important to you when we continue this, because what did Christ say? By this all will know that what? You are mine. How's the world going to know that? Because there is an environment that love makes that has an impact visibly. It has a visible impact. See, a lot of times people get off of this stuff, you know, the old idea of just sitting there on the couch with chili all over the T-shirt. Yeah, I love you. You know, you don't get away with that in spiritual life. It's not just words. Yeah, I love you. Oh, they know I love them. This kind of thing. He knows I love her. He knows I love him. He knows I love him. All this kind of stuff. No. Love makes an impact, people. And this is why people don't want spiritual love. They don't want that kind of an impact. They prefer the impact that righteousness makes, that doctrine makes, that they get the rule. And that's why spiritual love is very rare throughout all church history. That's why you have a lot of doctrine, you have law, you have rules, all these things that died long before love does. Because we don't want the sacrifice that love may demand. And love demands great sacrifices. It demanded God, His Son, His life. So, it makes an impact that the world can see. And this is so important for us tonight to begin, as we continue in this whole thing, is the impact of being poured into our soul so that it will have visible impact. I used to teach a really ridiculous doctrine called invisible heroes. Bunch of garbage. It's just a nice way to get away with whatever you want to do and call it living the Christian life and live and let live and all this kind of stuff. What I've learned in Scripture is that spiritual love makes a visible impact that the world can see, and they're going to know something about you, that you belong to Him. So what we're having is it makes an impact here inside your soul first. The people, it's going to make an impact that others are going to be able to see. They're going to be able to observe. There's love. There's what they may not even know it's love, whatever that is. They want to know what. That's when they get down to where we boiled in the study on Wednesday night. What's the secret here? What's going on here? What's the secret to how that person can love in such a way that will forgive 70 times 7? What's the secret of a love that will influence that kind of a life and make that kind of a life? I don't understand that kind of love. The world understands the love that most Christians exemplify, but the world cannot understand a love that puts Christ on the cross. It looks foolishness to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Looks foolishness to them. They can't understand that kind of love. So this is going to be a love that has a visible impact. Now, again, where does the love come from? This love comes from the third member of the Godhead, second standing by God, who pours this love into our soul. What causes Him to pour this love into our soul? God the Holy Spirit does the pouring, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. All right, let's note a few things. So as we do take notes, maybe just follow through the thinking, but it helps us to organize the flow so I can flow through this with you. One, we do not produce spiritual love. And I know I've said this so many times, but it's so important, because in the Christian life, Christians always want to do. I want to produce the love. I want to obey. I want to work. I want to do this. We can't produce. If there's any place really that it comes so obvious, it's at the area of love. And that's why the scribes and Pharisees and religious people have such a great problem with this. They know they can't do it. I can fake righteousness. Because righteousness and morality and purity have teeth. Okay, if you have more people, don't do this, and we can control. I don't know how to put teeth with love. I don't know how to control, because you can't. And that's why it causes God to look for a rare people who will dare to walk by faith and trust Him to pour this love into us. We cannot produce spiritual love by the energy of the flesh. And this is such an important point. This is not just an idle point. Because man tries to produce it. I'm going to work hard to be good. I'm going to work hard to have this love. And you're never going to get it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Period. It's given by the Holy Spirit. You cannot produce this love. I don't care how much doctrine you have. I don't care how moral you are. I don't care how many second blessings you've had. I don't care how much you serve God. You're not going to produce this love. This love is supernaturally given to us. Two, we do not even will spiritual love. We do not decide to love as Christ loved. We do not decide. We do not even will it. Oh, I will to love like Christ loved. I decide to make to love. No, we can't even do that. Point three, Jesus Christ himself did not produce this love. And to me, that's a very powerful point, because if we're going to actually imitate and follow Christ, then we say, Christ didn't even produce this love. Christ himself didn't. He did not produce this love. Four, this love is produced by God the Holy Spirit, who was sent to us. God the Father has sent to us the Holy Spirit, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, it produces and pours into us this love. Therefore, point five, very important. We do not make a decision to love. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit. We do not make a decision about love. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit. That's our decision. You want love, you don't make a decision about it. You make a decision about the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, therefore I make a decision about the Holy Spirit. And he will pour in this love. Six, Jesus Christ experienced spiritual love, and now every born-again believer can experience spiritual love, because we have the same Holy Spirit. Spiritual love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sent us the Holy Spirit, and now we can produce this love. Our decision is a decision concerning the third member of the Godhead, people. It's not even a decision about the second member of the Godhead. It's not even a decision I want to love as Christ loves. The final decision you and I make is a decision about the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Our part is simply a decision of faith. Am I going to trust His Spirit? And then I trust. And that's why we call it faith, because then I trust. How do you know it's true? I just trust Him. How do I know Christ is going to save me? I trust Him. And I trust the Spirit to do what He was sent to do, and that is to pour in spiritual love. Okay, then in this verse we have a void into us. We have a preposition here, plus the genitive pneumah, through the Holy Spirit. By means of the Holy Spirit. See? And so it's poured in by means of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we love as Jesus Christ loved? By the Holy Spirit. We're not going to produce this without the Holy Spirit at all. That's why it ties in with what we're seeing in John chapter 4. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Here is the Holy Spirit. Now we have the important phrase near the end of the verse, who was given to us. But see, God, if you think this thing through, He just said, okay, we have hope for this love, and hope doesn't fail because it is given to us by the Holy Spirit. So if we just started off, all right, let's just kind of go through this. One, spiritual love, and this is what I want. Spiritual love comes from and is poured in by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, this becomes a great issue. Not the love, but right here. If that's the source, now there's a great issue. Okay, then we have the question, okay, how do I get that, okay? Then what does Christ, the Spirit say here in our passage in Romans? Who was given to us? Okay, I already have the Holy Spirit. That's what we have going on here. See, we have genitive here with the definite article, and it says who. Who, referring to the Holy Spirit, has already been given. So here, what are we emphasizing now? When it says has been given, we're emphasizing again and again and again, the second standing by God. It's just amazing, and how far we even get from it in just reading through Scripture. If you just start reading Romans 5, the Holy Spirit just starts picking up the momentum and who and what He is, and by the time you get to chapter 8, pow, a whole chapter on Him. And it's just the first standing, that is of the Son, and I want to word this correctly, But the Sacred Family starts diminishing in its intensity and importance in the Christian life. Now, that we're going to be transformed in His image, and that's important in that, but I'm just saying, as far as our personal life is concerned, what now starts becoming important is the second sending. So you have the first sending is of great importance. So here's the first sending by God the Father, and this is important, all the passages and everything leading up, dealing with salvation, and characterized, being transformed into His image, but He leaves. But the main emphasis from this point on now becomes the second sending. Here's the second sending by God. And the second sending is the Holy Spirit, our relationship with Him. And I suspect when it's all over, we're going to get find out from God. Very few believers in all of church history have truly walked in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. I will say this, though. I think there's going to be more in certain areas and things than a lot of Christians think, the people who really did walk by that. Because I think there are a lot of Christians walking by the power of the Spirit through church history. And the main momentum of religion is going to be very void, very much void of it. So then we have the two standings. First, God sent His Son, John 3:16, and so here becomes a great issue. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But now look at what we have here. Now in our passage, He gave us the Holy Spirit. People, anything that God the Father gives has got to be a great issue. He gave His Son, John 3:16. He gave His Spirit. So here is His Spirit. And I hope you just thought, what's going on, you can see, this is very important. As important. More important for the Christian. More important for the Christian. Because we're not going to be transformed into the image of the Son without the Spirit. What's happened is, especially in the modern times, is the charismatics have taken this and they have bundled this thing up so badly, that a lot of Christians, well, I don't want to be like them. So if that's what the Spirit's all about, boy, I don't want that. And that characterizes a great majority of a lot of people, including a lot of the Bible church people. Well, we don't want to be like them. People, the Holy Spirit did not make Jesus Christ, let's say, weird. I'm being very strong here, but rolling around and foaming at the mouth and all and out of the gibberish, that's weird. But it didn't make Jesus Christ weird. It didn't make the disciples weird. It didn't make people weird. So what we have is something. Satan's done a masterful job. He's taken one group of people and made them look that way. And then over here is another whole block of people. Well, we don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit that way. We don't want to talk about anointing of the Spirit, trusting the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, all these things. Because, boy, that means we'll look like these people. I had this attack all the time from our old assembly. Well, you're just going to have us looking like that and all that. Because that's all they can think about. They don't even know. Don't even know the third member of the Godhead. And Satan's done a great job. He's neutralized two big blocks of believers. He's neutralized them. This one, they look weird. This one feared that. So, and the Holy Spirit talked about in this one in very sophisticated terms. He's talked about over here in very emotional terms. Both are wrong. Both missed it. And it's something really wonderful to be had in a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. So we have, and was given. Now, let's take a look at the word and was given, because it's just another one of those beautiful grace verbs. It says, was given, same verb, John 3, so we have given, aorist passive participle. Aorist passive participle. Notice again, what do we have? Was given. He gave to us the Holy Spirit. And we have, again, that passive voice. And what does that mean? We receive it. We just simply receive the giving of the Holy Spirit. This is referring to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's always part of the discussion of the Holy Spirit is just we receive Him by grace. And not only, and this is going to set the pattern out. Well, stay with me. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, pass it by grace, keep it the same thing for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to receive that in the same way that we receive the filling. This is what Galatians 3 is all about. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, empowering work of the Holy Spirit, same way, by grace, by faith. So, we studied the heiress type of thing, and we studied how this came about, that Jesus Christ went back to the Father, and first of all, he commanded us to love as he loved. He knew we couldn't do that, and he knew that he was going to leave. He was going to leave planet Earth. So, when Jesus Christ left planet Earth, and I think this is just so powerful, so Jesus Christ, God, has become man, lived on Earth, died, buried, resurrected, and spent a few days on Earth, and then ascended. He left Earth. And one of the first things that he did up there was not start taking care of himself and be occupied with himself, all these types of things. First thing he did was, now about those that I've left behind. This is what spiritual love does, people. You're seeing it in action. What does spiritual love do? Jesus Christ has just gone through all of this stuff of the cross and all these things, gone up now, and the first thing he wants to talk to the Father about is about those that he left behind, you and I. And he says, now about those that I've left behind, I would like for you, Father, to send them the same Spirit that you gave me. Because all through the Old Testament it talks about, I have put my Spirit anointed, I have anointed him with my Spirit, I have put my Spirit on him, those kinds of words throughout Isaiah and through the Old Testament. We've looked at them, we won't do it now. And he says, now I want you to do the same thing with those that you have given to me. I want you to do exactly the same thing to them. And God granted that, and therefore God the Father gave to us the Holy Spirit. And that's what you have right there, who was given to us. It is the Holy Spirit who was given to us now. It is He, just like Christ was given to us, now the Holy Spirit is given to us, that we can love as He loved. Again, the passive voice, voice of grace, subject receives the action of the verb, we receive it. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the point of saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we receive now, as we're going to see in Galatians, or have seen in Galatians, this same thing is done now. The participle, okay, this is important. The action of an aorist participle, I just put it up here. I'm not doing this to bore, to labor you, but it is important here. Here is the aorist tense, and it's with a aorist participle. Now, the action of an aorist participle, and let me do this so you can see how this flows in our passage. Okay, the action, that means an action of a verb. Whatever the verb is, that's an action. So the action of the aorist participle, and in our case, given, was given. The action of the aorist participle precedes the action. So we have two actions now. We have two actions. Precedes the action of the main verb. Okay, let's take a look at our verse. Romans 5:5. Let's take a look at our verse. Okay. What is the main verb? What's the main point of action in verse 5 in our study? I'm sorry? Love what? Love, what's the verb? It's right, that's the subject. What's the verb that's related to love there, Leslie? Love is what? Poor. There's the verb, right? Love is the subject. We're talking about action, so it's a verb. So, the main verb is poured out. Poured out. That's the main verb. But before, I mean, it just makes common sense, but I want you to see what's going on in the verse. Before this action can occur, we're going to have the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit, the action of the aorist participle, given, precedes this action of being poured out. You can't be, in other words, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, we can't pour out the love inside of us, right? Right. Okay. So the action of the aorist participle was given, precedes this action. But now, because this is true, because the Holy Spirit is in us, boom, we now can pour out spiritual love into us. You can do that now. And So this is what's going on. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, we have, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, and both of these, let's take a look at it real quick. Just go through it. It's becoming one of those passages we turn to a lot because it's so powerful in showing what's going on. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now, in verse 2 of Galatians 3 is the indwelling. That's the initial given to you. This is the only thing that I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now, receive. That goes along with our verb, was given. Given to us at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. All right, was given. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? In other words, was it by faith or by something that you did? Okay, it's by faith. Now, watch. What Paul's now going to say is, that's the same way you're going to get the filling. That's the same way you're going to get his work. Okay, let's see how this flows. Verse 2, indwelling. Verse 3, are you then so non-thinking, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You're going to have to continue to walk in the Spirit if you want to be. Now, how do I know it's going to be by the same way? Look at verse 5. Does he then, God the Father, who provides or supplies you with the Spirit, and now we know we're talking about power and daily life because he says even working power in you. Does he do this? The work of the Holy Spirit, does he do this by the works of the law or by faith? It's by faith. So how do we receive the working power? By faith. Same way we receive the indwelling. You receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit by faith. We receive the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith. So here we have the same pattern. It flows through. I receive his indwelling. I tap into him for his power by trusting him, and he then works. That's his work in us. Okay, let's go back to Romans 5 now. Romans chapter 5. Got ready to leave this verse and move on to our study now. Okay, because the love of God has been poured out, Romans 5:5, within our hearts through the Spirit who was given to us. One point here, sometimes us believers refers to every believer regardless of their life, sin or spiritual. Other times us refers to believers walking by faith in the Spirit, sometimes believers in sin. So we kind of have to be careful when we just generally categorize it. Okay, but here it's all believers because it's talking about the indwelling. So that'd be every believer. Just for the record, let's read 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at that time, now this means as unbelievers, totally helpless, couldn't do anything, and yet people still want to do something for salvation. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's all of us. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, but perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God, coming off of just a general principle of life that man can understand, that's a hard thing to go and die for someone else, especially a horrible person. Not going to die for a horrible person, but for a righteous person, a good person, we might. Okay, but God, contrasting him with man's thinking, but God demonstrates, just a demonstration, his own love toward us in that while we were the sinners, we're the ungodly, those were the ungodly ones there, we're the helpless, see in verse 6, helpless, ungodly. Verse 8, here we are toward us. We are the helpless, we are the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love, and that's the love that he's going to have poured through us, toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, for our benefit in our place. God the Holy Spirit is given by God the Father to every born-again believer at the request of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you have the indwelling of the Spirit. Not necessarily the power, but you do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8:9. Romans chapter 8, just look at verse 9. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That will become very important in our study in John, where Christ says that the world cannot know this love, cannot, because they do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not know him. And we'll come back and look at that in that way. Now, these passages deal with the giving of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now let's see some of the mechanic of how this is going to work for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Make a little note here. I want to change something here. Okay. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm thankful that all of the studies of years ago on this were lost, because so many things I changed and taken out and added, and God knew what he was doing in a wonderful way. So, designs were bad, but turned out to be really good. Now, Ephesians 5:18. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 5:18. Very common verse known by a lot of people, but let's look at it. Okay, Ephesians 5:18 starts off, and do not get drunk with wine. Do not get drunk with wine. Okay, let's look at the word to get drunk for just a few things that I want to bring out tonight. It's a present, passive, imperative. And the verb naturally means intoxicated, drunk. The word is used to describe a condition where wine or alcohol completely saturates the body so that one is intoxicated or drunk. The alcohol runs through the bloodstream of the body all the way to the head, and now we're drunk. This is a beautiful analogy of what we're seeing. First of all, this inner effect. Something, every time we see, and we generally have fun, the drunk guy can't find a key or something to put his key in the door or something, but first of all, something happened inside. It's exactly how we started tonight. First of all, this love is poured inside, and something happens inside. Then it has the overt. Same thing here. Drunkenness, we know something has already occurred in the past, recent past, when someone is drunk. So alcohol has gone into the blood, saturates the whole body, and is now influencing the brain, influencing the soul, if you please. The present tense here used to denote a condition in progress, the status quo. Being drunk here, that's with the negative. Very important. Passive voice. Subject receives the action of the verb. We saw this in reference to the Holy Spirit and love. Subject receives the Holy Spirit. Subject receives love. Now, here, a person receives a state of drunkenness by drinking too much alcohol. Stop drinking so much that you become intoxicated. Now, I just want to stop for a moment. We don't make a decision to get drunk. And then we're drunk. I mean, we can fake it. I want to be drunk. No. What do? We make a decision about alcohol. That's our decision. We don't make a decision to be drunk and then we're drunk. Just like we saw, we don't make a decision to love. Our decision is in what? Reference to the Holy Spirit. You follow that a while ago? Okay. You've got to make a decision about the Holy Spirit. Here, you've got to make a decision about alcohol. You don't make a decision to get drunk. You make a decision about alcohol. I'm going to keep taking this alcohol in. There's your decision. Alcohol is going to make us drunk. We don't make a decision to get drunk. We make a decision about alcohol. Now, someone could argue whether you decided to. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. It isn't by a decision that love flows through you. It isn't by a decision to love that we have it or to be drunk. We don't just decide. What I'm trying to say is we don't decide, I want to be drunk. I'm going to be drunk. I'm drunk. You don't do that. I make a decision to have alcohol. That's my decision. Is to drink the alcohol. And the alcohol makes me drunk. It's the work of the alcohol. Okay, let's see what we got going here now. That's the present tense. Passive voice, we receive it. You receive the effect of alcohol. Now, I'm talking about true intoxication. I'm not talking about where you can snap and maybe, you know, get your mind going for a little bit. But see, when you're intoxicated, you don't just say, okay, I don't want to be. I'm not. It's there. The alcohol is doing what it is designed to do. Just like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing what it's designed to do, so alcohol is doing what it's designed to do, and we receive it. And again, we have that imperative plus the prohibition. Do not do this. This is God's desire. We talked about how the imperative mood is the furthest removed from reality. But it's God's desire. Do not get drunk with alcohol, for that is dissipation or debauchery. It's not just for the record, let's be honest, it's not a prohibition of drinking. It's a prohibition of drunkenness. Now, let's see what we have here. And really, you know, that's not even the point of the passage. Let's understand that. I'm not at all supporting it or anything. I'm just saying if that's your whole sermon, you've missed it. That's not what this is about. Okay, but certainly that point is there. Do not be drunk with wine. Now, but in contrast to that, now we come to the point. That was an analogy. Now we come to the truth. But be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But why would he make that analogy? Because they're so beautifully close. They're so beautiful in so many ways. Passive voice. What do we see? We receive the spiritual life. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit, we receive life. We make a decision about alcohol, we receive drunkenness. You just receive it. You don't make a decision about drunkenness, you make a decision about alcohol. You don't make a decision about love, you make a decision about the Holy Spirit. So, this becomes something really beautiful that is being set up here. Okay, be filled with the Spirit. We have the word but, setting up the contrast now. Being filled with the Spirit versus being filled with the Spirit, if you please, in a humorous way. Being filled with alcohol produces drunkenness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit produces spirituality, from which is going to flow spiritual love. But be filled, present, passive, imperative. Okay, there's that passive voice again. Passive voice, subject receives the action of the verb. We receive being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the passive voice is important. It's not active. Active means I would do something to be filled with the Spirit. Passive means I receive it. Now, what you and I do is here. It's in the verse. It's hidden there for the eye that will see. And we'll take a look at it. But what we're looking at right now is we receive being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see if we can look at this. How did we receive being drunk? Simple. Drinking too much alcohol. Now, what is drinking? Say with me now. What is drinking often a picture of throughout Scripture? Like at the communion table. What's drinking a picture of? Faith. Just receiving by faith. Trusting. That's what it's a picture of. So, it tells us how right here. It's sitting there. How do I do it? Simply by faith. See, this is how I'm going to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. The word to be filled is the same word origin of that we studied in Luke 4:1. Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, was led about by the Spirit. See, Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit, and here we are filled with the Spirit, and the verb paro, the verb means to fill. F-I-L-L, to fill, to fully fill. A lot of different things that you can look in a grammar, not grammar, I'm sorry, lexicon. depending on the extent of their writing. There's a deficiency that's being filled up. The deficiency is created by our flesh nature. It's being created by who and what we are. We are deficient spiritually. So there's this empty reservoir in our spiritual makeup, our spiritual being, and it is going to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. That's one way of looking at what's going on here. The word also means, is used in certain passages to possess, to fully possess, to fully influence. Okay, let's take a look at wine. What does wine do? Wine fully influences. It influences all the parts of our makeup. This is why people work with machines. And I want to go to something like this so we won't argue about the various degrees of drunkenness or different types of people, because different people are different. But I think we all know, if a person is drunk too much, in fact, almost hardly any, but let's just say you drink a lot, you don't want to be fooling around with machinery. You're going to cut off your head, your hand, or something, or hurt somebody else. Now, why is all of this going on? Because it fully influences every part of our being. Alcohol influences what we see and the way we see it. It influences the way we see things, our perception of things. People, by analogy, this is what spiritual love does. I want you to see the analogy. Spiritual love influences the way we see things, just like alcohol does. It changes reality. It changes distances and different things and what's there. And sometimes you might even see two or three of whatever it is out there. Two or three switches that you're supposed to work on this machinery. Two or three handles. And you got just a second, you reach for the wrong handle, and you could be in trouble. So it affects our vision, affects our reflexes. This is one reason that sometimes in a wreck, the drunken person isn't hurt that much, because a person that is sober will tense, brace, establish himself, drunk just rolls with the flow, as it was. Just rolls with the wreck, and that's all there is. And just sort of gets banged around, and sometimes it's fortunate that way. Whereas somebody else, we brace for it and then get crushed and hurt and all kinds of that. So it affects the reflexes, the way we see things, our reflexes, our thinking, our emotion, vocabulary, speech. Everything's affected. It becomes what? Visible impact. Drunkenness has a visible impact. It's a beautiful analogy. It has a visible... Ah, that person is drunk. Well, how do you know? You don't know how much they're drunk. Well, there's the visible impact. The same thing as spiritual love. Spiritual love is what? First of all, going on inside. I can't see all the stuff that spiritual love's doing on the inside of you. We can see the visible impact. There's spiritual love in action right there. There's drunkenness in action. So we know how a person walks. And for fun, we comedians and names will accentuate, but the other day they walk funny, they move, everything about them. Inhibitions, so many things. And now all can see. People, it's a beautiful study of what spiritual love does. It affects first the inside, every part of our being, the way we see things, emotion, vocabulary, thought, all these things affected by spiritual love, and then it has an impact that the world is able to see in reference to who and what Christ is. So, it fully influences. So, the spiritual love, that the Holy Spirit pours spiritual love throughout our soul, it influences every part. So if you desire God to influence your life, then the Holy Spirit must fully influence your entire being. That's why the Christ-centered life, the spiritual life, is a supernatural life. There's no way the energy of the flesh can do this. The verb means to fill with a certain quality. Fill with a certain quality. Okay, let's deal with the quality of alcohol, the quality of the Holy Spirit. A certain quality. The quality of alcohol, it depresses. It doesn't stimulate. A lot of people think alcohol is a stimuli. It is not. It is a depressant. It depresses. It depresses the senses. It depresses the reflection. The reaction to things. It depresses everything. Okay, spiritual life. spiritual life comes in and starts activating every aspect of our inner being in such a powerful way. So it fills with a certain quality. What is the quality? Supernatural. It's the love of God. It's the love of Christ. And therefore, what do people say? Ah, therefore, if I understand, this is what the love of Christ looks like. This is what this person looks like. Boom. I know that person belongs to Christ. This is why 1 John 3:16 is so important. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this. He laid down his life for us. Okay, I see that love. Then I see a believer, instead of laying down another believer's life, laying down their own life, if that believer can be restored, wait a minute, just like one of those tests, match these two, and you start matching. This love looks like this love. So people begin to know that you belong to Christ. You see, these actions, drunkenness and these actions, oh, this is what a drunkard looks like, that's what he's doing, I put those together. This is what this love looks like, this is what the love of most human beings look like, this way this person's loving, boom. So we start putting things together, and the world says, you belong to Christ. Because that's the way I see Christ loving. That's the way Christ loves, so that's the way, and you're loving, so that's it. Most Christians love the way the world does. Therefore, the world doesn't see Christ. The world sees law, but they don't see Christ. The world sees a pseudo-righteous law, justice, but they don't see the love. And it's the love, the cross, it's the love that resolves the spiritual warfare between God and Satan that Satan hates. He hates his love. He doesn't hate his righteousness, and he doesn't hate his justice. He hates his love, because his love fulfills those things. So when you start acting that way, they look just as we would look at a drunkard, and we have a drunk over here. You see this action, meets that action, that person is associated with wine. See the love of Christ here, your love in your life, see those two, this person belongs to Christ. And that's what we have going on here. Okay, we'll start here next Tuesday evening. Thank you all for coming tonight. Heavenly Father, those who worship will worship in spirit and truth. Truth being as to who and what you are. You are love. And so tonight, Father, we have been setting who and what you are. And we praise you, Father, for the God that you are. That we might, Father, have the same love flowing through us that flew, was flowing through your Son. And that as the angels and man look, what's the secret? What's the secret in loving that way? But it's not a secret. It's simply a love that is poured in by the power of the Holy Spirit that causes us to resemble Christ. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are, in the Son's precious name. Amen.